You awaken, rub your eyes, realize you've been dreaming, and sit up. You're alone in the cabin, and the late afternoon sun is golden on the meadow. It's nearly dinner time, and following dinner there will be a Dharma talk and sitting meditation in the Zendo. You decide to shower and get ready. You remove your sandals in the hall outside the Zendo. Bow to the Buddha upon entering. Sit cross-legged on a cushion in the semicircle. Closing your eyes, you inhale the incense. Experience a sense of contentment and wait. You sense the others around you moving, finding their places, adjusting their bodies on the cushions, but you're not distracted. When Brother Joshua enters the room, you sense his presence and open your eyes to see him smiling at you. You smile in return, straightening your spine. Brother Joshua says, "You make hundreds of decisions every day. Decisions about what to think about and how to spend your time. Should I get up now or wait 5 more minutes? What shall I do during lunch? Should I ask Mary to have lunch with me? What TV show do I want to see? Shall I be responsible to what I need to do, or should I do what I really want? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Everybody is in the same boat. But when the decisions come down to the most important areas of your life, you begin to view them differently. The relationship you want but don't have. The relationship you have that isn't working. Family complications, entanglements with friends and neighbors and coworkers. The job you hate. The success you desire. When it comes to these important areas of your life, you lose your ability to see them as decisions and instead see them as problems. What am I going to do about my problem? You worry about it, try to figure it out and analyze it. Should I get involved? Should I end it? Should I demand that the other person do as I say? And if so, how do I go about it? Will I regret it? Rather than viewing the situation as a decision, you view it as a problem. Do you know why? Brother Joshua looks from one student to the next. Shelley puts up her hand, saying, "Because we aren't really clear on our intent." Brother Joshua smiles and says, "Clarity certainly helps, but it goes deeper. It goes back to your knowing who you really are beneath the masks and programming. Each of you is familiar with the aphorism, 'As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.'" You nod, and the other students nod. "It follows that how you think of yourself determines what you do. How you think of yourself determines your decisions. And it follows that the more you know who you really are, your true self, the more easily you will be able to resolve any situation with a simple decision. I am this, so I naturally respond like this." Turning to Shelley, Brother Joshua says, "Knowing your true self provides you with clarity of intent, Shelley. Knowing your true self allows you to think of even the most important situations as decisions, not problems." A middle-aged man puts up his hand and asks, "But how do you get to know your true self?" Brother Joshua laughs and says, "By meditating, attending seminars and retreats, reading, and asking yourself a lot of questions. And in the end, by rising above the effects of your fears. You may not be able to eliminate your fears, but you can let go of your attachment to your fears." The man speaks again, saying, "By learning to step back and observe them?" "Yes," Brother Joshua says, "and by experiencing them. When you embrace your fears, fully experiencing them, you can let go of your attachment to them. Andre speaks, asking, "And when I know who I really am, I will have no indecision about what to do?" Brother Joshua nods, smiles, and says, "But what if you find out who you are as a self-centered, selfish person? If you are still at this stage of evolution, you'll continue to view situations that aren't to your liking as problems. But everyone here is beyond that, right?" Brother Joshua chuckles and says, "Let's do a short closed-eye process. I want you to focus on a problem you'd like to see change. Now go ahead, think about a problem you'd like to see change, a problem in your life." "All right, now let's examine it from a self-centered perspective. Do you want another's approval, or do you want to control them and get them to be what you want them to be?" Are either of these things your right? Explore any angry or fearful thoughts you have in relationship to this situation. Okay, now, look at the problem as a decision that needs to be made. What is appropriate based upon who you really are? The bell echoes through the zendo and ebbs away. You and the other students stand, bow to your cushion, stretch, then walk out onto the balcony. Long shadows of trees fall across the meadow as the last rays of sunlight reflect the vibrant colors of the wildflowers weaving in the breeze. A purple and yellow sea. And for a moment you feel adrift, floating on a euphoric raft manifested by the altered state of consciousness, the incense, and the concepts you're exploring. You take a deep, deep breath, close your eyes, and go with the feeling, almost leaving your body until you feel a hand on your shoulder. You open your eyes, turn, and see Cassie Verity beside you, saying, "You okay?" You nod. "Thank you." "Does this help?" she asks, gesturing toward the zendo. You answer with a question. "Does it help you?" "Sometimes I think it's all nonsense," she says. You smile and agree. "It is nonsense," you say. "But when viewed from earthly perspective, life appears to be nonsense, doesn't it? Maybe this is providing us with the awareness to deal with the nonsense." Cassie looks at you as if you were the master and says, "Please go on." You consider your words carefully, finally saying, "Well, isn't all this about learning who we really are? Getting to see our laziness, our pride and selfishness, our unwillingness to accept what is, and our self-centered motivation. When you add it all up, you have to realize it's the energy that drives us around and around in circles, getting us nowhere except another incarnation." "Pretty perceptive," Cassie says as the meditation bell sounds again. You reassemble in the zendo, sit on your cushion, wait for Brother Joshua to begin. "Last night I talked to you about your thoughts not being reality. They're just your thoughts. One way to find peace is to let go of your attachment to fearful thoughts, become an observer of your thoughts and experiences. It follows that the more you observe, the more you learn about who you are. And when you know who you are, you respond to life appropriately. You begin to view problems as decisions, as opportunities for growth. You don't do things that create undesirable karma, and you learn to accept what is. You don't try to change what cannot be changed. You change what you can and simply accept unalterable realities without resistance. A woman with turquoise beading in her long white hair puts up her hand.
I've meditated for years trying to quiet my mind.
Brother Joshua shakes his head. A waste of time and energy. Let your mind do what it wants to do while you concentrate upon letting go of your attachment to your mind's activities. Unless your emotions are dominating you, they're harmless. They are not reality. You don't have to get rid of them or renounce them. Just observe them. Recognize that they are impermanent, transient. The woman who asked the question nods and seems satisfied. It's up to you, Brother Joshua continues. True freedom amounts to liberation of yourself and from yourself. Liberation from yourself is a matter of letting go of your attachment to your addictions, obsessions, and fear-based emotions such as prejudice, possessiveness, jealousy, hate, greed, envy, egotism, blame, and resentment. And now, it's time to meditate for a while. Meditate on your addictions, obsessions, and fear-based emotions, and your willingness to let go of your attachment to them. As you focus upon this, observe all of your responsive thoughts, feelings, and visualizations. Brother Joshua ends the session by saying, My goal is to awaken you enough to assure that you will never fall asleep again. He scans his students, walks to the doorway, and says, You'll meet again in the Zendo at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Good night.